Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Calleth Unto Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about the power of judging, because the power of judging is something that we've got to face today because it's so rampant within the body of Christ, and it's rampant within the earth. And I think when we begin to look at ourselves in the body of Christ to realize we are no different than the world, and yet not try to beat around that and say, oh, yes, we are. No, we're not. We're no different than the world, because we gossip, we talk back to each other, and we judge people left and right. And let's face the reality of it, folks, that within the body of Christ, charismatics, we judge Baptists. Baptists, we judge charismatics as being too faith-oriented, too much on the spiritual gifts, almost borderline New Age, almost borderline spiritualism. Then we bash the Baptists because we say to them, what? You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't believe even speaking in tongues, you know, and the Bible makes it very plain when you get saved, you know, they were speaking in tongues and all this stuff, and we go back and forth. But let's face reality. Aren't we acting like children? Is all of this needs to be at a place where it is irrelevant, because each to his own, every joint supplies, and yet some people may never reach the place where you are. And even though you might think that you are on that high place and people, some people will never reach where you are, guess what? Your pride will come before your fall. And if you realize that every one of us are on the same exact level, we're just seeing through our peripheral vision and we're seeing through our perception totally different things, because each one of us will get a totally different download from God of where God knows that we need to be at that moment, or what we can accept at that moment, or what we're able to understand or hear in that moment. It's he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an eye, guess what? That's what you can see. You can only see what you know that God knows what you can handle. And so I want to take for a moment someone like Joel and Victoria Osteen. Now let's take them for a moment. Do I like them? Absolutely I do. Do I like Derek Prince? Absolutely. Do I like Joseph Prince? Do I like all these different... Kenneth Copeland? Absolutely I do. Do I like a lot of people? Do I love Billy Graham? Absolutely. I love a lot of ministers. I love them all, by the way. But there's certain ones that each one of us will be drawn to more. So this is not a taking up for Joel Osteen. This is a understanding Joel Osteen of where he is today. You know, I read an article recently where Joel Osteen calls himself the friend of sinners. And can I tell you something? That's what Jesus was called. He was referred to that. And I look at people like Joel and Victoria and I think to myself, you know what? They get a bad rap a lot. They really have people judging them within their own community, within the own charismatic community. There are those who judge them severely. And these are some of the reasons why. Because many people, I was in a group of people just a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Joel, and I said, how many of you have actually ever seen him in person? Raise your hand. No one raised their hand. How many of you have actually, you know, been to his church? No one raised their hand. I said, how many of you actually heard him in person? Maybe at a civic center. No one raised their hand. I said, so what you're going by is by what the media is saying. And then many of them say, well, no, I'm going by what this Christian magazine, a real famous Christian spirit-filled magazine, is saying. And I said, let me explain something to you folks. Media is media. I don't care if they call themselves Christian or not. Media is media. And most people understand the concept that most things are in it for money. And I'm not saying their heart's not right by far, because I'm not going to judge that. But yet media understands that shock factors sell. It's just the name of the game. And as sad as it sounds, it's a fact. Let me give you a great example. If I was to tell you that these certain Christian magazines advertise with Identity Network, and as they do, we have Christian publishers that advertise with us, we have ministries internationally that advertise with us, and the majority of people who advertise with us always come to, what is a good subject line for the e-blast? What is a good subject line for this email blast we're going to send out through you guys? And one of the things they find is they like to find shock factors. They like to find something that would, what, entice the flesh or the soul to want to be able to open up the email. Folks, that's the name of the game of business, because people like excitement. And whether you realize it or not, you're the same exact way. You will tend to open up an email that says Joel Osteen exposed more than you would an email that just said Joel Osteen loves. Would you not? And you can sit here and say, oh, brother, no, I wouldn't. Yes, you would. It's the name, it's flesh. Your soul would want so bad to open up that email to find out what it is he's being exposed from. Because it is flesh. It is things that your flesh loves to devour. Because it loves what? Gossip. It loves judgmentalism. It loves information, right or wrong. It loves it. And that's why email blasts do that. And companies do that. And Christian magazines do this. Same exact thing. But now a lot of times we can get to a place where people will pull information that is wrong, data that's wrong for people, to that's about certain people. Why? Because it sells. And as much as I hate that, as much as I wish they wouldn't do that, because we have seen so many people judge people like Joel and Victoria and nitpick at these people and try to find things wrong with them. And let me go back to what I was saying earlier. A lot of times people will look at them and they'll say, well, they're sort of, you know, tiptoeing around the gospel. They're not blunt with the gospel. My question to you would be this: what do you consider the gospel to be? Now think about that for a moment. You can say Jesus. Well, guess what? Joel's talking about Jesus, preaches on Jesus all the time. You can say, well, the gospel to me is sin. I would say, well, hold on, wait a minute. Because Jesus rarely ever talked about, first of all, hell. In fact, did you know Jesus really never even spoke on hell? He might have mentioned it once or twice dealing with, call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. And most people don't even know what that means. And so I always tell people this: if you're nervous that Joel does not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are totally mistaken. Because people understand, those who are enlightened with revelation and have a relationship out of an agape love with God understand that relationship in Jesus is built on pure love. My relationship with Jesus is not built upon the fact that he saved me from hell. That is a warped relationship. You don't date somebody because they can save you from another person beating them up, do you? I would say you're relationship is warped. It's fragmented. It's not built on the truth. I don't love Jesus because he saved me from hell. I don't love Jesus because he saved me from sin. I love him because of who he is. That's what you call a true relationship. You don't love your spouse because they're saving you from something, do you? If that's the case, that means guess what? If I was your spouse, I would say, if you love me for this reason, I don't want to be with you. I don't want to be with somebody who loves me because of something what I'm giving them. I don't love somebody because they're able to take care of me financially and yet I don't care anything else about them. That's not right. It's not the truth, and it's not purity. It's not true relationship. And so you look at these people and you realize the reason why many people thrive on judgmentalism and wanting to judge people like Joel and them is because they don't understand true relationship with Jesus. And the gospel is the good news. And the gospel speaks of peace and joy and hope. And I want to say something to you that will help you to understand the scriptures. I'm going to mess you up for a moment in the scriptures that you can turn around and understand what the scriptures are truly wanting to say to you. Now then, if we really look at scripture, let's compare Joel Osteen to the things Jesus preached, all right? So if you look at Joel and you say, Joel preaches a prosperity message, I would say, no, he doesn't. He preaches a message of hope. So you need to change your terminology to realize Joel doesn't always say God wants you rich. In fact, very rarely does he say that. He talks about hope. He talks about living the life that you were meant to live. Well, guess what? Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Jesus didn't say this. Nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the four Gospels did Jesus ever say, I have come to save you, wretched, horrible sinner, from the snare and the fires of fiery pit of hell. Nowhere did Jesus ever say that. Now, so here's my question. Did Jesus miss the mark because he never talked about, believe in me and I will not send your butt to hell? No. Pardon my expression, but no. You will never find that in Jesus' words, ever. No matter how much you want to twist it around, Jesus never said that. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Guess what Joel's given away? Life and life more abundantly. in that, in the aspect of hope and peace and living the life God wants you to live. And let's look at other examples for a moment. I've heard many people say, well, he's not preaching what Jesus preached. Is he really? Is he not really? Well, what about on the Mount of when he talked to the people about the Beatitudes? Let's look at that for a moment. Now, let's look what Jesus actually talked about. Can we? Now, Jesus, let's look at this for a moment. Now, really, see, the Western American Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Western American Jesus says this. It says, you're going to turn or burn, or you're going to worship God, because if not, God's going to get angry with you, he's going to be mad at you, and he's going to send you to hell. Well, first and foremost, let's really analyze that for a moment. So what do we do when we come to somebody? Do we give them the Romans road to salvation? Well, let's face the reality of it, folks. That is a man-made religion. It's a man-made ideology, man-made idea. Sounds good. Might be scriptural, but that's, you know, but it's still a formula. I want you to think of the word formula for a moment. Turn or burn, what is that? Formula. It's a phrase, popular phrase people used to love to say back in the 80s and 90s. Now, let's look at Jesus. So he was on the Mount talking about the Beatitudes. Now, think of this for a moment. He had the absolute perfect setting. Now go with me for a moment. Here you are, you have all these huge, huge amounts of people right in front of you. Can you imagine? Now, many of us would say, perfect opportunity. Every one of you need to receive Jesus right now so you won't go to hell. You need to repent of your sin. And all that sounds great. But guess what Jesus didn't do? Jesus missed the American Western world gospel. He missed it completely. How dare you, Jesus, completely miss the mark? What was wrong with you? What were you thinking, Jesus? You didn't do any of the stuff that we did. What did Jesus do? He had the perfect opportunity to give them life and give it to them abundantly. So what he did was he bypassed the sin and the hell and the repentance. Not that any of these things are not important, but he just bypassed these things. What did he do? He talked about peacemakers. Wow, look at this. Long-suffering, the merciful. He talked about these people. And when you look at that, guess what you begin to understand? Wait a minute, hold everything. Why would Jesus talk about long-suffering, being merciful, full of grace? Why would you talk about this kind of stuff, Jesus? I mean, don't you realize you've missed the mark completely, Jesus? What's wrong with you? You had an opportunity and you blew it. But see, Jesus did not blow it. He said what he meant that he came to earth to do, to come to give life and give it to you more abundantly. All right, so we got that one. We're obviously, we can either say, A, Jesus missed it. Oh man, guess what he did? You know what Jesus did on that Mount? He pulled a Joel Osteen. Gosh, Jesus, you were influenced by the wrong man, obviously. Okay, so let's go to another verse. Let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's look at some more verses, shall we? Let's look at the time when this woman approached Jesus and she said, I want my kids to be with you in paradise today. Okay, wait, so I want my kids to be in paradise. So let's go over this for a moment. Now, if you say who you say you are, let's go there and deal with the aspects of, I want my sons in the kingdom with you, Jesus. So what would Jesus say to them? Well, if you think about it from a biblical standpoint of view, you begin to understand and notice that Jesus didn't sit here and say, now, lady, let me give you my formula. My formula is that I'm going to die on the cross. You need your sons to repent. I need your sons to receive me as your Lord and Savior. And when they do, you're going to begin to bow and say this sinner's prayer and all this other stuff. And so when you get to all that, guess what? Jesus, man, once again, you completely missed it. What is wrong with Jesus? Keep on missing the American gospel. I can't figure it out for the life of me. What has gotten into him? Because he missed it again. So let's go and decide and look at exactly what it was that Jesus talked about. So if we look at that, we begin to understand that Jesus said something that most people don't really pay attention to and read. So he says, to one he told him, in order to sit with me in the kingdom, you must be the least of these. Wow. Where's hell, Jesus? Hold on a minute. Where's sin, Jesus? But aren't you supposed to talk about you and wait a minute, hold on. But I think somewhere else, didn't you mention, Jesus, that you just did what you saw your father did, you know, told you to do? So okay, so you told these boys, if you want to be my kingdom, that you're going to have to what? Be the least of these. Gosh, Jesus, you missed it again. You just can't get it right, can you, Jesus, in Matthew 20. And then to another guy, he went further. And he said, when he's talking about, I think it was Nicodemus, when he's talking to about how to get into the kingdom, and he said, except a man be born of water and spirit. You know, think about that. Unless a man be born of water and spirit. The man didn't understand, and he sat here and he said, hold on a minute. You know, I don't really get this, you know, because I can't get into my mother's womb again. And it's interesting because Jesus never sat here and said, I tell you what, sit down, let me go through my theology, let me explain to you for a moment what I'm trying to say. Because see, the man never didn't have really an ear to hear. And so Jesus began to just do what he did, and he went on. So here's a totally different story. First story to get into the kingdom was to be the least of these, okay? Another story over here is you have to be born of water and of spirit. Once again, but where's the hell issue in this, Jesus? Where's the sin issue with this, Jesus? You know what? Here's two times now. I don't know about you guys listening to our broadcast today, which is a little bit different broadcast, but can you tell Jesus missed it again? God love Jesus. He just keeps on getting it wrong every time. Oh, let's go to another parable in Luke 14. It talks about this king having this big party. And what does he do? He invites all of his friends and family members to come. So we can see right here, can't we? We can see where this is us. Yes, this is us, man. He's inviting us, because we're the remnant, we're the saved, we're the sons of God, and we're the ones with the pride, because we know, man, we got it. We know what goes on, because hey, we got the Word of God in us, so we get it. So he invites all of us to come to this king, to this party, and all of a sudden, nobody shows up. Isn't that just like us today? We wouldn't show up because we'd have something wrong with him, would we not? We'd find something wrong with the king and say, you're a little bit haughty, king, or you're not preaching the gospel correctly, so we wouldn't go, correct? So what does the king do at that moment? Now here's Jesus now telling us about the kingdom of God. Listen to me now. So this is what we call our modern day preachers talking about how to enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus doesn't do it bluntly. He beats around the bush like Joel Osteen does, doesn't he? Jesus beats around that bush again, just like Joel does. Man, Jesus, you missed it again. Why? Because he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Go and get the outsiders, since those I invited didn't want to come. And guess what happened, folks? The outsiders came to the party. Now, here is Jesus telling people about the kingdom. And now you've got people that are hungry saying, I want to know about heaven. I want to know about the kingdom. I want to know what it's like to be there. I want to be with God. How do I get there? And so Jesus does what? He doesn't tell them bluntly, turn or burn. He says, I'm going to give you a parable. Once again, Jesus, you know, you missed it because you're beating around the bush. You're watering down the gospel, man, just like Joel Osteen, obviously. So what does Jesus tell him? Tell us about this crazy, messed up story about a king and a kingdom, and he invited his friends and family members that didn't want to come, so he invites the outsiders. Now, so the kingdom of God, Jesus makes it plain that the king begins to invite the outsiders. Now, this will mess with many people's theology, and many people won't receive this because they believe what they want to believe in the Bible, not really what was factual according to what they feel Jesus really was. Jesus was a fact, he was the truth, and what he preached was facts and they were truth. And many people refused to listen to the words that Jesus spoke of how to get into the kingdom. How to get into the kingdom? Be the least of these. Okay, where's the American, you know, go to the altar, and where's the American version of that in play in what Jesus said? And where's the version of the Americanism, Christianity of turn and burn and heaven and hell and sin and all this other stuff dealing with the area of what? Being the least of these, being born of water and spirit? Well, I get that a little bit more in that verse, do you not? And then all of a sudden, you get these crazy off-the-wall parables, God. You know, and in one parable about the kingdom, when these people are hungry, you beat around the bush, Jesus, and told them about some crazy king and inviting the outsiders. So the outsiders came. Isn't that interesting? Let me put it to you bluntly, folks, because many of you, with your messed up formulas and your messed up ideologies and messed up theology, which I won't even get into the Greek because I don't want to really mess you up today, or Aramaic, since the Bible is originally written in Aramaic, and Greek is not like the Aramaic, folks. It gives totally different verses as far as different meanings and definitions. So when you read it just for Greek's sake, you need to realize you're still not reading the absolute truth. You need to understand from the original Aramaic of what these words mean, and not a commentary by some Baptist or Methodist or Charismatic. You need to read the facts. And if you want to, I urge you, take a trip to Israel. Talk to some people over there, because they'll tell you, my friends from Israel will tell you, who are true Jew now, I'm talking they are born, bred, and blood from Israel and Jordan. And they'll tell you, your American Bible reads nothing like our Bible. We do not believe in the things that you guys believe. We're totally different because we understand more of the original language. So through all of that, let's narrow it down to this. Did Jesus give... Okay, I know some of you are listening to me right now. Did Jesus give the same exact formula to everyone who wanted to know about the kingdom of God? Yes or no? No. Correct. Jesus did not. So there was no formula given. There was no Romans road to salvation. There was no tell them about hell. There was nothing like that at all. It dealt with other aspects. And yet, even if there was an outer darkness mentioned, like the virgins, the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, it still doesn't tell the full meaning of what it was that us as Americans talk about. So what Jesus did when he even mentioned the utter darkness and they were cast in the utter darkness because they didn't fill their things with oil, their lamps with oil. And guess what I would say to that? I would say, Jesus, you beat around the bush. People need to know the truth. They need to know this brother and they need to know that brother. Well, guess what, folks? Jesus didn't do what you want him to do. Jesus did not do what you're expecting Joel Osteen to do. You know why? Because Joel is like Jesus. And what Jesus did was Jesus gave them parables. He gave them hope and a bright future. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Hope and a bright future. He's come to give life and give life more abundantly. He's come what? The Bible says that he came healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. The Bible says he's come to do good. He's come to do good, healing all that were sick and oppressed the devil. So there's a goodness in Jesus that he came to do. And we look at the situation and what do? We turn around and we judge. Why? Because these people do not measure up to our puny, little, ridiculous revelation that we think that is so Americanized and westernized of what we think Jesus really was. Folks, here's what I would recommend to you. You need to start reading your Bible. You need to start reading more about Jesus, because Jesus did beat around the bush, if I can say it that way. He did beat around the bush. He used parables. He didn't use the truth of the burn or turn or burn. He didn't use the truth of you're going to rot in hell if you don't change your horrible sinner ways. No, he gave parables, off-the-wall stories, because he knew, look, if you can hear this, and I'm telling you from a scripture point of view, if you can hear this, then you know what? You'll hear it. If you can't hear it, hey, you know what? I'm going to walk away. Now, what kind of man would do that to somebody? But yet, you don't understand the power that Jesus was trying to do and what he was trying to bring forth. He never gave the same story to any person dealing with heaven or hell or whatever. In fact, let's give the last, before we close the broadcast, let me give you the last ultimate verse that will totally mess you up, because I don't have time to go into all the parables and the different things of conversations that Jesus had, but let me give you the ultimate, can I? Jesus is on the cross, okay? He's on the cross between two thieves. One thief looks at him. Now, I want you to hear me for a moment, because many of you are listening too much to what your preachers are telling you that are not factual. And we don't stop to realize that when we begin to look at the scriptures, we begin to realize that it would mess us up more to understand that maybe we need to quit judging people simply based upon that what if every single person deserves what the Holy Spirit wants you to tell them, as opposed to giving them a formula. What if Joel was doing the right thing? And I'll give you the verse in a minute here about Jesus on the cross. What if Joel was doing the right thing? What if Joel was preaching and talking about hope, because we live in a world where there is no hope? What if Joel is right and correct and understanding, where he talks about living the best life now? Well, guess what, folks? Shouldn't you live the best life now? I mean, do you really want to get into a preacher's conversation where they tell you, don't live the best life now? Live poor, live miserable, live sick? That's what the opposite of living your best life now means. Do you want to live the worst life, or do you want to live the best life? Do you want to fulfill the scripture Jesus said when he said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly? Do you want to fulfill the scripture when Jesus said, I go about doing good? Jesus said, I go about doing good things. He says, all good things flow down from the Father of lights, and in him is no shadow of turning. He said, you know, and so no good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly. So think about it, folks. We need to really reevaluate before we turn and judge someone else, to realize what actually is what the gospel is. What is the gospel really wanting to say? Well, it's going to say, guess what? According to Jesus, it's going to say different things to different people. And whether you like to hear that or not, it's what Jesus did. He gave different answers to different people. He gave them answers of where they were in their life, of what they could understand at that moment, as opposed to giving them some ridiculous Western American formula that's all it's done is it's face reality, folks. It has made Americans that are not Christians mad. And what we do is we turn around and we say, we're being persecuted for the gospel's sake. I want somebody to say, I laugh my head at that situation, at that comment, to say, folks, you're not being persecuted. You ask for trouble. You're asking for trouble when you tell people how horrible, rotten sinners they are, because Jesus did not do that. If anything, the only people Jesus ever got mad at was not the world. He got mad at the religious folks, which I guess what are some of us. Are some of us who are acting like a bunch of judgmental, hypocritical people, judging everyone that comes their way. And so Jesus would look at us and say, you're whitewashed stones. You know what? You're nothing but vipers, because you bite people and you judge people and you condemn people. So for you, I'll talk ugly too. For the world, I want, because they don't get it. Because those are my people, because I died. I came to the earth. Why? For the world. For God so loved the world. I love the world. Guess what, folks? Jesus loved the world. And so let's go to the last verse before we close, shall we? So here is Jesus on the cross. As Jesus is on the cross, surrounded by two thieves, and what does one of the thieves say to him? One of the thieves looks at him and says, hey, Jesus, basically, if you are who you say you are, hey, do me a favor, remember me. Now, let me ask you a question here for a moment, can I? Where is the repentance in that statement? Can anybody answer that for me? No, you can't. You know why? Because there's no repentance. Is that true God-fearing faith coming from a man of God? No, not at all. Because he said, remember me. If you are who you say you are, if you're really the king, remember me. He didn't quote scriptures. He didn't bind the devil. He didn't say, Jesus, I know you are the Son of the living God. No, he said, if you are who you say you are, do me a favor, remember me. So let me ask you this question, folks. Where's your water baptism? For some of you water baptism folks, it has to be saved. There's none, is there? Where's your true faith to know that you've got to know that you know he is the Son of the living God? Because it's not in that verse. He was pretty doubting, if you want to know the truth about it. That was a question. Hey, if that was an iffy question. If you are who you say you are, remember me. And guess what, folks? Where's the message of understanding this man that who is on the cross? There is none. So what does Jesus, in his mercy, his grace, his compassion, what does Jesus turn around and do? He turns around, looks at the man in suffering and pain that he is equal to in pain, and says, this day you will be with me in paradise. But Jesus, stop for a moment. Oh my gosh, you're a heretic. You are a total heretic. Do you understand, Jesus, that you did not lead him to the sinner's prayer? Do you understand he's dying in his sin, Jesus? Jesus? Do you understand he's not confessed his sin? Come on, folks. And many of you would say, but that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He has the power to do that. So Jesus has the power to bend the rules, right? Jesus has the power to do only what his Father would do and say as well, correct? So Jesus, the Son of the living God, who is the firstborn among other brethren, which we are, he's a son and we're a son. Our job is to obey him and be him. If I'm called to be him, I'm called to think like him. That's why he gave me the mind of Christ. I'm called to act like him, correct? If I'm called to think like he thinks, I should be creative enough to say, look, it's not about a formula. If you have heard this name of Jesus, then guess what? God has saved you. God has done this. God has done that. We have the power, folks. You don't understand. We're talking about Jesus, who did not lead this man to a sinner's prayer. He didn't even, in fact, the man, let me ask you this question, folks, seriously. Where was this man's repentant heart of even stealing? Do you know, if Jesus was really smart and knew who he says he, that and knew who he really thought he was, according to the Western American theology, you know what he would have done? He would have said, before you pass away, do me a favor. I need you to confess to me your sins, brother. I need you to confess to me right now that sin of why you're on the cross. And while you're doing it, do you feel bad enough and guilty enough for what you did? See, that's a bunch of American preachers for you, is it not? But what did Jesus do? Jesus looked at him and he said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Folks, once again, totally different message than be the least of these. Go sell everything you have to follow me. Be born of water and spirit. You know, come into this king's party, even though you're an outsider, and they did. And what's funny about it is, are you ready for this one? The outsiders came to the party, and guess what, folks? They were accepted. Accepted. So, does Jesus have a formula? No. Did Jesus say totally different things about the kingdom of God and who God was and how to get to heaven to each individual person you talk to? Absolutely yes. So folks, this broadcast today is here to cause you to think, mess with your ridiculous American Christianese theology to make you realize we've got to quit judging people. Why did I do a broadcast like this and sort of bring a little bit of, pardon the expression, a little sarcasm into the equation about Jesus? Because I want you to wake up, folks, and realize, who are we to judge others to say, Joel, you're not preaching the truth, brother? Well, Jesus didn't, according to how Joel's preaching and according to how Jesus preached. Or is it you've been so ingrained in a black and white message and you've got to tell them the truth, brother, and the truth is going to set them free, but yet the truth is actually not the biblical truth. It's actually the truth of what your perception has been told as far as tell them about hell, tell them about sin, tell them about this and that, and don't beat around the bush. Is it true that what you've been taught has been possibly, maybe, not the truth in the way that Jesus presented it? Absolutely. So we've got to quit judging people. Jesus said something very powerful. The same amount of measure that you display to someone else in judging, guess what? It'll come back to you. Folks, it's a dangerous thing. Stay away from judging people. What if we do this? What if we loved people like Joel and Victoria and said, you know what? Are they perfect? No. Do they say the right things every time? Absolutely not. I know Victoria put her foot in her mouth recently when she talked about the worship. And God love her, she was trying her best to keep on and keep on, but she messed up. But I got what she was saying when she said worship is for us. I got what she was saying because worship is very therapeutic. Worship is for us in the sake of it's therapeutic for us to release ourselves to God in worship, that we can be, that our minds can be set free to get ourselves off of us. So, you know what? These things are for God, but they're also for us. There's nothing wrong with that. We all know worship is for the Lord. We get that. But you know what? Is it right to judge a woman who's really trying? Who's really trying to bring forth something fresh and new to help maybe relieve and release people that's in a huge audience and on television? Yeah, it's called grace. Jesus even said it this way, my grace is sufficient. Folks, let's be like Jesus. Let that grace be sufficient for Victoria Osteen. Let that grace be sufficient for Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and all the ones that we know of that are doing good and they're bringing forth life to people. We don't know how many people are suicidal. And let me ask you a question. I will close with this, I promise. Let me ask you a question. For someone who's suicidal, do you think if they heard a message to say, you're a rotten sinner, you're going to burn in hell if you don't change your ways, if you don't do this, Jesus is going to get you, or something to that craziness, do you think that person would either say, oh, wow, that made me feel so much better, I've got hope now, I need to not put this gun to my head and blow my brains out? Or do you think turning on the television in that moment of having the gun to their head and hearing somebody say, you know what, you can live the best life now. God died that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to be happy in this life. He wants you to have a joy, an unspeakable joy and full of glory. He wants you to understand that laughter doeth good like a medication. He wants you to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. God wants you to know that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath. And folks, for some of you that don't know Scripture, I just quoted to you pure Scripture from the Bible that you love so much. And what if that person heard that type of message? You know what would happen? I bet you anything, they would put that gun down and say, you know what? Maybe I am of self-worth. Maybe I am loved by God. Maybe God does have a plan for me. So folks, before you point the finger, you remember how deadly and dangerous it is when you do something like that. I want you to know today how much I care for you, how much I love you. If you're that kind of person right now that's depressed and down, there is hope, there is love, and there is grace for you. And know the body of Christ is not perfect, but we are really striving and trying the best of our ability to be who Jesus is, and that is of love. And so today I want you to know you are loved with an everlasting love that God will never take back, no matter what you do or say to Him. God will never take back His love for you. So go on that today, folks. And please spread this broadcast around for me. I know there's so many good brothers and sisters around here that is listening to this message. Please spread this broadcast around that others as well can awaken to the agape God that loves us completely. God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.